BioTalk. Hello and welcome to BioTalk with me, David Ridd, Marketing and Communications Manager for Edinburgh BioQuarter. Today we're delighted to welcome one of BioQuarter's originals, Sarah Lina, Chief Executive of FEOS Genomics. FEOS, originally a bioinformatics spin-out from the University of Edinburgh, were the first company to move into Nine, the Life Sciences Innovation Centre at BioQuarter, when it opened back in 2012. And it's fair to say they've since gone on from strength to strength. Firstly, if we can just jump into it, can you give us a little bit about your own history, but firstly about that of FEOS?
Absolutely, thanks David. So my own background is, first degree was in pharmacology from the University of Glasgow, and followed that up with a PhD in neuroscience, epilepsy in particular, looking at the development of new medicines. From the PhD, I then went to work for Cancer Research UK, so a complete change of direction. And then I stayed in academia for a couple of years and quite quickly realised that it maybe wasn't for me. It was really interesting, really in-depth, great science, but it wasn't fast enough paced for me. I liked something a little bit more dynamic and faster moving. So after 2 years in academia, I went to work for a large CRO, a contract research organisation, who were based up in Riccarton in Edinburgh. So that was Quintiles. But I stayed in the cancer field and was running preclinical models of oncology for them. And then moved to the other side of the world to work in a company called Maxine, which was a spin-out from Quintiles. But I was employee number 3. And we moved over to Singapore in 2005, myself and my husband. Stayed there for 3 years. Had a great time, really opened my eyes to many different aspects of contract research and science. And I don't know, just gave me a much more worldly view, I think. And then moved to London, where I decided I wanted to be the client for a change rather than working in contract research. So I was a head of preclinical for a small to medium biotech, as they were then, or a much larger organisation. But then I realised that I belonged on the contract research side. So I joined a company called Biopta, who are based up here in Scotland, and they're now Repricel. They got acquired a couple of years ago. And I was head of R&D there, where I was responsible for developing new models to test drug safety and drug efficacy. And that was specifically using human tissue, so living human tissue, which was just fascinating. And really, you know, in-depth science, great science, but with the fast-paced customer aspect that I always enjoyed. I then decided to do something a little bit different, and I joined FEOS in 2012, knowing nothing about bioinformatics, which you might think is a bit odd. I had no bioinformatics background. Bioinformatics was one of those, you know, words that made the hairs on the neck go up and think, oh goodness, I know nothing about this. But it was a really good opportunity to get into a very early stage company and to really make a difference, which is what motivates me. So I joined FEOS as commercial director, and the company was 4 years old by that point. However, I was the first outward-looking salesperson. So it was really at the start of the commercialisation journey. And FEOS, as I said, was 4 years old. It was a University of Edinburgh spin-out. And the company had just received their first external funding a year before I joined, and that was to commercialise the technology. And the technology that FEOS had was about turning big data into information. So things like sequencing data, microarray data, as it was back then as well, all in the field of drug development and life sciences. And I think initially the model for FEOS was to be quite, you know, virtual and online, you know, that people would do things via a website and, you know, order analysis, if you like. But quite quickly, after speaking to a few potential clients, we realised that what was missing in the market was a dialogue people wanted a conversation about their data. They didn't want a software, you know, a click and collect type thing. They wanted a conversation. And so, you know, that's how we've grown the company, is this consultative bioinformatics company. And we've grown the company consistently since 2012. And we're now just under 50 people based at the BioQuarter. I joined in 2012 in April, and we moved into the 9 building, the BioQuarter, in the June. And we were the first tenants into that building, actually, to the first offices on the ground floor. But it's really nice. We've seen the whole evolution of that building and, you know, companies coming in and going, you know, once they've got to a certain stage. So it's been nice to have been part of that. But it's, yeah, we've grown consistently, and we're operating pretty globally now as well. The majority of our business is in the US. About 80% of our business is in the US. And through our partnership with Charles River Laboratories, which started in January last year, 2020, we've got an even bigger reach now. And just this morning, we've signed a deal with a company in China. And that was one that we probably wouldn't have got on our own. So the partnership is certainly extending our reach and getting the FIOS name out there.
I mean, it's an amazing story, actually. You've got yourself, but also, you know, FIOS's story is quite interesting as well. Do you feel that you got in at the right time to the company, and did you feel that it started up at a sort of the right time for bioinformatics, where we see where it's grown to now?
It's a really interesting point, and I say this when I talk to potential clients, that back in 2008, when the founders of FIOS had the idea to have a standalone analysis company, that was really, really forward thinking, because the big data revolution, as I call it, was really in its infancy. You know, the data generation technologies were really, you know, extortionately expensive. The Human Genome Project hadn't yet been finished. And so for them to realise that this was going to be a need is maybe even a little bit too before its time, you know. So that gave us the time to really kind of hone our skills and really work out what the market needed. And it's that consultative, conversational bioinformatics with a biology focus. So I think I got in at exactly the right time. I've seen the market shift. I used to go out and talk to clients about the generation of big data and how useful that was. And, oh, by the way, we do the analysis. But now people are so fluent with the technologies. They know what the technologies can do. They know the limitations of them. And so we're purely talking about the analysis. So it's been nice to see that change. And it's still rapidly changing. You know, that the landscape is changing. And I think COVID has certainly brought it to the forefront as well, that people are realising how important data is. You know, we can't do anything without them having more data. And it's important that it's analysed and interpreted in the right way. So, yeah, it's certainly come to the forefront recently.
Do you think that the use of data in healthcare and medicine is now a colloquial thing, if that's the right way of putting it, given what's happened with COVID? And what does that mean for FIOS, do you think?
Yeah, I think people have realised the power of data in making decisions. And rather than it just being a box tick, you know, you can really get much more out of what you're doing with the right data and with the right data analysis as well. I think COVID has brought it more to the public forefront. You know, I think it was always in science, they were always adopting new technologies, but it's easier for me to explain to my parents now what I do for a living, you know, whereas before it was just something with numbers and spreadsheets. So, I think maybe people have a greater appreciation for data and what data can do. And hopefully it's made people realise the importance of giving your data, you know, giving access to your data, that it's not always for marketing, for people to spam you. It's, you know, it can be really, really useful. You know, genetic data for things like 23andMe or Ancestry.com, when people get these things for their parents for Christmas, you know, that data goes into a repository and drug companies use it to identify risk factors of disease. That's a great thing, you know. But no, it's certainly changed the landscape, I would say.
Clearly, it's great to see a Scottish company doing so well in the international market. And as a CRO, you're going to work with many, many tens, if not hundreds of companies. How important is Edinburgh? How important is Scotland to your proposition? And how advanced are we in Scotland when it comes to data and that connectivity?
I think Scotland in particular was very quick to see the way the landscape was going, you know, this big data revolution that I mentioned, and there's lots of infrastructure been put in place. We hear an awful lot about these electronic medical records that we have in Scotland and people out selling Scotland because of the sick population, and we've got all the data on these sick people, and, you know, it's kind of quite horrifying and it's half in jest, but it is true that we do have a lot of the infrastructure needed, a fairly, you know, static population as well. So that can really help. People always talk about Edinburgh. You know, Edinburgh's known and everyone's always been to a conference in Edinburgh. So it's a nice conversation starter.
And in terms of your growth, you talked about it there. Clearly COVID will have impacted on business, not necessarily in a negative way, perhaps. Yeah. Clearly, congratulations on the deal you signed with the Chinese company earlier on. Yeah. A little bit of an exclusive there for BioTalk potentially. But also the Charles River deal from January last year was huge for the company. We talk about business, but we have to remember that the impact it's had on staff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just came as such a shock to everybody. And I think the one thing that's held true, everybody is in the same boat here globally. So our clients are in the same boat, even the same boat, our families. And so it was a real, I think the world went into shock last March, and we certainly saw that. And we must have been the same. You know, we were all office based. We switched overnight to remote working, and then that was it. We were doing a test one Monday, did our systems work remotely, and we've not been back, you know, 15, 18 months ago. So there was a real sharp intake of breath and essentially rip up the plan we had, because, you know, at that point we had planned to grow. We'd just signed this Charles River partnership, as you mentioned, and it was to really get out and about with people from Charles River globally to get the FUIOS name out there. And all of a sudden we couldn't go anywhere. So we didn't know how it was going to go. And we've been really lucky, if you, I don't know if luck's the right word, but our business grew quite substantially last year. I think most of it was off the back of the work we had done in the previous months. So we grew the team. We brought in, I think it was just under 20 people last year. And that was weird, you know, onboarding people that you'd never met, you know, recruiting people you'd never met face to face, onboarding them without having met them. And I really take my hats off to those people who were brave enough to move jobs during a global pandemic. I don't know if I would have been that brave. So that was, it was great. And actually the opportunity, you know, to turn the negative into a positive, it actually gave us the opportunity to recruit further afield. So before, we were very much looking for people based in Edinburgh who could come to the office. And I think maybe about half of the people we brought in are not Edinburgh based. And they're all UK, but they're not necessarily Edinburgh based. And it has changed the way our business will operate much, much longer term. You know, we're not going to go back to full time office working unless people want it. It's going to be optional, and we're going to have a hybrid model, which I think an awful lot of people are going to have. And I think the team have really coped tremendously well at FUIOS. The resilience has just astounded me. Even as a human race, I think the resilience has astounded me. Mm. But the team at FUIOS have just been phenomenal. You know, with all the no schooling and childcare been up in the air, some people were unwell, the worries we all had about, you know, our families and elderly relatives, and even just the, you know, whole pandemic just being a complete worry. Just everybody, to a man, just pulled together, and a woman, just pulled together and just really, really impressed me, you know, and I certainly won't forget that.
Well, it's great to hear, and you are an exemplar. Where do you see the company growing to? What are your ambitions?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting time, and I think over the next... I think the business world has changed, and, you know, I used to travel to the US every 5 weeks, as did a couple of my colleagues. I don't see that happening again. And so, and it's not because we're not allowed, but I don't think we have to do it anymore. So I think we have to kind of change the way we're thinking about growing the business. And certainly over the last 12 months in particular, a lot of the business we've had is word of mouth, referrals, people who were clients moving to a new company and spreading the word. And so I think that relationship building aspect is going to become really important, because it is about who you know. So I think we'll put a lot more emphasis on spreading the word about FEOS, getting our name mentioned places, you know, maybe conferences, or, you know, labouring the scientific aspects of what we do a lot more. We're really lucky that our clients publish a lot of the work that they do with FEOS, and, you know, sometimes some of the team will get, you know, an authorship or, you know, certainly an acknowledgement, which is great because it means we can talk about the work we do. So in terms of the growth, we grew a lot last year. So this year is about consolidating that team, getting everybody working together. You know, we grew by, I think, nearly 50% last year in terms of staff. So that's a different dynamic. So we're having to get, you know, more support functions in place, adapt to this kind of permanent hybrid working. We want to, you know, continue the partnership with Charles River. They are giving us access to markets that we wouldn't go ourselves. We've had an Australian company do work with us, a Chinese one that happened this morning. And that's great. It's really phenomenal for a company in Scotland, you know, to have those opportunities. So really, you know, capitalising on that. And we've got a great repeat business rate of FEOS. So once we have those clients, we want to grow those accounts, if you like, and just really, you know, internationalise a little bit more. We don't have many plans to add huge headcount this year. As I said, we did an awful lot last year. So it's just a term of, you know, bedding in this team that we have and seeing what happens over the next 18 months in terms of the market and travel and stuff like that. Still a bit of an unknown, I guess.
It is still up in the air. I want to talk to you. A few years ago, you did a blog for us to coincide with International Women's Day. I think it was 3 years ago now. And you told us a bit about your own personal story. We're proud at the BioQuarter and N9, the Innovation Centre, that there are a number of companies that are headed up by women. It's come to the forefront even more, isn't it? Equality, diversity in a lot of different areas. Have you noticed that even since the 3 years since you wrote that blog for us, things changing within the world of STEM or within the life sciences sector itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think, and it wasn't because of my blog, let's get this clear. I just think society has just changed. And I think, you know, the younger people now that I'm not classed as one of them, they're just not going to put up with it. They're not going to have this inequality. And I think that's great. Rather than fighting for equality, let's just not tolerate inequality. You know, that was very much what I was writing in my blog, that I don't even consider it because it just shouldn't happen, you know. And certainly FEOS used to be very male orientated. You know, and that's just the nature of bioinformatics. You know, it was a male profession, if you like. It's much more even in our team now. I'm not quite sure of the ratio. If it's not 50-50, it's not far off it in terms of bioinformatics. So it is changing. And I think it's mainly been driven by, we're just not going to put up with this. It's just, and that's from both sides, the male and the female. It shouldn't be a consideration. So it's nice to see it changing. And I'd be horrified if, you know, my daughter or, you know, my nieces saw any sort of glass ceiling, you know, and it's just, if you just punch through it and get on with it, not let it happen. Don't let it happen.
Do you see yourself as a mentor at all? And did you have any mentors coming through that helped you to get to where you are at this point?
Do I consider myself a mentor? I probably should, given my role, but I maybe don't. You know, I do like speaking to students and kind of sharing my journey, to use a really cliched term, and it's not always a linear straight line. You know, you can take detours and you can get it wrong on occasion, and that's okay. That's just part of the journey. And, you know, never be afraid to go, right, this isn't actually right for me. You know, and I think that being brave, I talk to people about being brave and not always taking the easiest option. I've had quite a few line managers over the years, and, you know, I've had good managers and bad managers. I've had female managers and, you know, male managers. And the female managers I've had have been brilliant. And there's three people that I've worked with over the years who have shaped me and my career. And they're all women, but I think that's a coincidence. And I'm lucky that I'm still in contact with all of these women. now they're personal friends, you know. So it's I think everybody you work with, everybody you interact with impacts you in some way. Sometimes positively, sometimes negatively, but they impact you just the same. And it's about how you take the nuggets, whether it's I'm never going to be like this or I want to be like that. And actually one of the three women that I mentioned there, I was an undergraduate at University of Glasgow, and she came in to do a talk to my undergraduate class about working in contract research. And the penny dropped after her talk. That's what I want to be when I grow up, you know. And I ended up working for her at Quintiles. And like I say, now she's a friend. I consider her a friend, and I still speak to her in relation to work as well. So that was just one thing that changed, you know, the duration or the course that my career went in. So I maybe hope that I can do that with some of the people I talk to. Yeah, mentor's a big word, a scary word.
Well, hopefully a few people that have been listening to this today will take some inspiration from it and look to their careers moving forward, perhaps in bioinformatics or life sciences. But Sarah, it's been great speaking to you. It really has, and it's great to see FIOS doing so well. Great to see you doing so well, and best of luck and everything moving forward.
That's great. Thanks very much, David. Nice to speak to you.